This episode of the Body Storytelling Podcast is brought to you by Oh My God Yes, a video series that helps vagina havers experience pleasure. Oh My God Yes is explicit yet comfortable, sort of like friends sharing recipes or travel tips. Each technique is brought to life in beautiful videos of people with vaginas sharing their experience. Oh My God Yes asked thousands of women what feels best to them and found the patterns, with no blushing and no shame. Learn more about Oh My God Yes and how to save on the series later on in the show.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this is the birthday episode, also known as episode 74. I'm recording this podcast on my birthday, and rather than my usual Patreon ad, I want to ask for help for someone else. And I can't do this without you, so please listen. I have a friend that I met almost 10 years ago. Her name is Nancy Donoval. And Nancy is one of the most incredible story coaches I've ever met. I met her in the traditional storytelling world. My first time venturing out to a place that I thought would be full of prairie hats and people who treated me like a whore in church. And they kind of did, except for Nancy. She treated me different. She was so interested in my stories, and she told me her own. She had been raped when she was 19 years old. And she had become a storyteller. She has a company called Stories to Stop Rape. She won a national storytelling award for her story, Unicorn. And I will make a link to that in the show notes so you can hear it. And we've been friends all this time. The freak wedding story that I told a few months ago that was on the Risk Body collaboration show, Nancy and I worked on that for hours and hours because she knows that territory, the sexual assault territory, so well. She helped me work on what was okay to talk about, what I felt like I could talk about. And she works in colleges. She works with young people who are going through sexual assault, learning about consent. But it's very hard for her to work because, so here's her history. Way back when, many, many years ago, she lived in an apartment and there was a gas leak. And the gas leak should have killed her. When they came in to repair it, they were like, you should be dead. You should be dead. But she wasn't. But she started getting sick. She started having respiratory problems. She developed asthma. A few years after that, she's renting an apartment near Chicago, and they're lacquering the floors downstairs. They didn't open the window. It's an old building. The fumes come up through the floor, and that's when she really got sick. Nancy has had chemical sensitivity and sickness for many, many years. It's affected her ability to work full-time, and she's been working part-time teaching storytelling in the Twin Cities area for the best she could do, but that's not enough to live on. She couldn't afford a place to live, so she was reliant on the kindness of friends to put her up in a guest room. But she's had to be very careful with who she stays with because of the chemical sensitivity. Nancy and I work together on Zoom, which is like Skype when we work on story coaching, because I wash my hair because shampoo makes her sick. She'll be in bed for days if you use anything. I use hair color. I use things that would make her sick. So we always communicate via the phone or Zoom when we work together. that makes it really hard to live. 4 or 5 months ago, she told me about this job, this storytelling job that was coming up. And she wanted to apply for it. She lives near Minneapolis. The job was in Tennessee at East Tennessee State University. And I said, why don't you apply? You have nothing to lose. Then they wanted her to fly in and do job interviews. And she was afraid she was going to get sick. But she did it. And pretty soon they offered her the job in Tennessee. And they said, we'll work with you on your chemical sensitivity. That's life-changing for her to finally have a full-time income. But she didn't have enough money. They could only give her a small amount for her moving costs, and it's very expensive to move. This weekend, Nancy, hope against hope, borrowed some money, and she went to Tennessee, and she went to look for an apartment. She didn't think she could find anything that would be okay, that she wouldn't be sick all the time, because she's very, very sensitive. And she found an apartment in a house, and the woman that she's renting from has chemical sensitivity. Same thing. So she knows her home is going to be safe. She took the money she borrowed. She signed a lease. Everything has come together. She's moving in 6 weeks to Tennessee. She's got a place that she knows will be safe. But she doesn't have the money to move. So I and another friend have started a GoFundMe for her. I've never done a GoFundMe before. I just want to help my friend. So I'm going to put a link to the GoFundMe in the show notes. Best birthday gift you could give me is help Nancy start her new life. Every single thing is pointing toward her being able to finally work a full-time job, to finally do what she's eminently qualified to do. Oh, the part I forgot to tell you is the National Storytelling Network gives Lifetime Achievement Awards. And they've just awarded the Circle of Excellence Award to Nancy Donoval. It happens to be in the Bay Area. So for the first time in many, many, many years, Nancy and I are going to be in the same place in July. Her to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award, and I'll be performing and teaching event producing at the conference. Help us get her there to receive the award on stage. She deserves the recognition. She deserves this award. Help her get from Minneapolis to Tennessee to start this new job that is perfect for her, the job she was made to have. Everything points to yes. She just doesn't have the money. She's got to pay back the loan for the deposits, and she doesn't have anything for the moving costs. And it's pretty expensive to move that far. She's on a plane right now. I just checked in with her. She's flying back. She's starting to pack. She's not very healthy. She's going to need a professional mover. She's going to need a lot of help. She's got it all lined up. It's just a matter of the money to do it. Go to the show notes. Go to the GoFundMe. I'm also going to post it on Facebook and Instagram and other places so you can find the link. I'm the one who told Nancy this is possible. I've told her, just try. Just try. And now it's all there. She's so close. Help me get her there, will you? Thanks for listening. It's time for this week's story. The storyteller that you're about to hear came to her very first body storytelling recently. And as I like to do, at a certain point, I told the audience, you can get on this stage and you can tell your own story. I announced the theme for the next show in San Francisco, which was Gateway Drug. And a day or two later, I got this email. Attached to it was a voice memo of her telling me the story. And when I looked at the name on the voice memo file, I stopped. The name of the story, you'll be able to figure it out when you listen to the name of the camp that she went to in this story. Kind of gave me pause. Then I listened to it and laughed so hard. She is a born storyteller. She was terrified. She got on stage. She rocked the house. Listen to all the laughter you're going to hear in this room. First time storyteller. This one is from Sarah Newsom.
Mm-hmm. take two. So I'm lying on my back, and I'm staring at this string of Christmas lights that are clothespinned to the roof of a cream-colored canvas yurt that's nestled deep in the woods next to a river. And I look next to me, and there's this woman sitting on her partner's face, and she's bouncing up and down vigorously. Her boobs are jiggling, and her dirty-ass camp feet are just inches away from my face. And I look to my right, and there's a group of five people starting to assemble, and they're moving their body parts around like Rubik's Cube pieces. There's like a mouth on a cock here, a hand on a tit here, and another hand's reaching for anal beads. And I'm lying there in the middle thinking, oh shit, should I have done that second dose of MDMA? Oh. Ooh. You see, last spring I was sitting at Panchita's Pupuseria in the Mission and crying into my margarita to my friend Lindsay and telling her how terrible this year had been. I felt like a failure in every aspect of my life. I wasn't successful in my job. I didn't feel cool enough to be in the queer scene here. I didn't feel experienced enough to be in the kink scene. I had a string of failed relationships and I was completely striking out in my dating life. And my friend Lindsay says, you know what? Come to Critical Northwest with me. It's the regional Burning Man event up in Seattle. It's like a good way to just let go, fresh start. And I'm thinking, well, I can't afford to go to Sandals, Jamaica. And after three margaritas, this sounds like a great idea. So 2 months later, we pack up Lindsay's car and we make the drive up to Granite Falls, Washington to settle in on a Freemason campground with about 700 other of Seattle's Burning Man community to camp for a week and drink and do drugs and all those other things. And so during the week, I'm having fun. I am drinking, smoking, swimming naked in the river, and I'm getting to meet all the people at my camp, Uncle Louie's. And it's a very active poly camp, and I had no experience with anything poly before, and immediately I'm like lost in the sea of acronyms that they're using. They're dropping like FWB, HBB, LFG, and I'm like, WTF, where's the NRE, man? I'm lost, and immediately all the icky insecurities that I'd been battling just came bubbling up. But the awesome thing about the Burning Man community in Seattle is they are so age positive, sex positive, body positive, and they are so welcoming. And better than that, they are like the biggest perverts I've ever met. It's amazing. They are spending all of their day in the red light district at this event in the sex camps. And that's great, but as the event is coming to an end, I'm like, well, now I have my own poly acronym, EFBM. Everybody's fucking but me. Like, what the hell? And so Friday night, the event's starting to wind down, and I'm in our messy-ass tent, and I'm crying to Lindsay again. Like, why won't anyone fuck me? God damn it, we're surrounded by perverts. This should be easy. And Lindsay's assuring me, you're great, you're awesome, just be yourself. And as she's trying to console me, she's taking the little Ziploc baggie out of her duffel, and there's four pills inside. And she says, you know what? I was gonna save these, but we're gonna do these tonight. And I'm like, what are those, God? What are those? What are those? And she's like, these are moon rocks. I'm like, what? Moon rock? She's like, it's MDMA, which is like ecstasy with a little something extra, and it's like, so good. And I'm like, okay, well, anything not to feel this shitty way. So my essential need to know questions before experimenting with drugs is, one, will it cause brain damage? No. Okay, great. Second question, is there any possibility at all while I'm on this drug that I will shit myself? No? Awesome. You know what? Screw it. Give me two. And so I pop my two pills and I start costuming up for the night, having no idea what to expect. And I've got my blue wig on and my fishnets. And 45 minutes later, holy shit, now I know what's going on with MDMA. It's amazing. My skin is on fire and colors are so pretty. And I want to put everything in my mouth. and I want to touch everything. And my eyes are immediately drawn to this camp where the sign says, "Fuck you, I'm a wizard." And underneath the sign, there's this purple satin jacket that is absorbing all the lights from this disco ball. And there's a gold embellished dragon on the back of this jacket. And I'm like, I must touch the dragon. And so I run over to the jacket and I tap the gentleman wearing the jacket and he turns around and I'm like, oh my God. He is 6'4", redheaded, bearded, Viking, lumber, sexual, sexy Zach Galifianakis thing going on. And without thinking, I say, oh my God, can I rub my face in your beard? And he laughs and lets me rub my face in his beard. And he tells me, I'd like to rub some things on you too. And so I'm excited. We take our flirtations to the red light district. Yes. I'm thinking, oh my God, I finally get to enter like the pervert elite. And I'm noticing as we're walking there holding hands, I'm doing that weird like hop skip that kids do when they're going to Disneyland. I am so, so excited. And we enter into the red light district and there's moans and groans and there's like the deep bass music from this butt plug dance party happening. And we walk towards this tent where there's like a beautiful soft glow on the sign of where we're about to fuck. And the sign says, tuna melt. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So we walk into the dressing room and there's a table full of lube and condoms and gloves and hand sanitizer and toys. And I'm like, oh my God, this is great. And so we undress and we walk into the tent and there's three couples already in there. And I'm thinking, oh, am I gonna feel awkward? Like, I don't know, this is kind of strange, but then I'm like, oh my God, there's this like electricity in the air and I am determined to be the epicenter of this fuck tent. And so my Viking takes my fishnets and he starts ripping the stitches in the crotch. And with each tear, I am getting so wet. And I quickly mount him and I slide on top of him slowly and I am relishing every rock hard inch of him. And I'm moving my hips slowly and he quickly flips me onto my back and he's thrusting and my nails are digging into his freckled butt cheeks and I'm pulling him in deeper and deeper and he lets out this guttural growl as he comes and then he collapses on top of me like a redwood falling in the forest. And he pushes himself up and he wipes the blue wig away from my face. And he looks into my eyes and I'm expecting him to say something really profound and sexy. And he leans in and he goes, Jesus Christ, your pupils are enormous right now. Okay. And so he kisses me and we leave the tent and I float home just on my little MDMA cloud, so excited to do this again tomorrow. And I wake up the next morning like a kid on Christmas. I want to unwrap that gift again and again and again and again. And so I run over to Kevin Bacon Camp where my Viking is standing there at the bar in a G-string making Bloody Marys. I don't waste any time. You, me, tuna melts, 9 p.m., be there. It's a date. So Saturday night comes around. It's the last night of this Burning Man event. And I go and meet my Viking at Tuna Melt. And what I don't know is that the last night of a Burning Man event, everybody is fucking. And everyone's finishing all their drugs and everyone's doing all the booze. And there is a line around the red light district for this sex tent. And we're like slowly like inching our way towards the front. And I'm like the girls in the line at the club that aren't wearing any clothes. And they're like bouncing around just to stay warm. I'm like, yay. And the Viking squeezes my hand and he goes, Sarah, I just want to let you know that I'm like super high on mushrooms right now. Oh, shit. Okay, well, I'm sober. Are you consenting to this? He goes, oh, yeah. Awesome. Let's get weird. And so we enter into the dressing room of Tuna Melt, and I'm noticing as we cross the threshold that the electricity that I thought was in the air is actually this industrial-sized bug zapper that they have above the tent where the mosquitoes who are like intoxicated from all the huffing and puffing of the fucking happening are just flying into their death, left and right. so sexy. And I'm starting to undress, and I poke my head into the tent to see the situation that's happening, and immediately I am met with not the sweet smell of sex, but like a wall of odor of sweat and dirty sunscreen. I don't even know if that's a thing, but dirty sunscreen. It is, whoo, it's a lot to take in. Okay, stay present, Sarah. This is sexy. So, the floor is moving. There's butt cheeks and ball sacks and tits, and there's like no place to fuck in this tent. People are standing in the middle of this tent, like trying to fuck and like holding up the canvas roof. And I'm like, oh my God, this is wild. And I see a tiny spot open up on the floor, and I grab my Viking and I like slide on in on these disgustingly wet pillows, by the way. And I am ready for my Viking to enter me, but his penis is still on a long, strange trip. So that's not happening. Okay, so he decides he's gonna go down on me. He's kissing my neck and my breasts, and he moves down and down, and I can feel his hot breath on my clit, and then nothing. There's, wait, nothing's happening? What? So I prop myself up on my elbow, and I look down, and he's talking to my vagina. He's having like a conversation with my vagina. Like they're catching up like old friends. And so I'm not trying to eavesdrop or anything, but I'm pretty sure my pussy doesn't need to know that you're from Belle Plaines, Kansas and that you work in IT. I'm sorry. So I tap him on the head. Hard to interrupt. Sorry. Why don't you go get some lube? So he goes, gets the lube, comes back, and he's, you know, rubbing his hands, and he starts rubbing his dick. And I'm like, whoa, that smell, there's another smell happening here. What is that smell? It's like vaguely familiar. Okay, stay present. This is sexy. He slides his fingers into my vagina, and my vagina is burning. Shit, my vagina is burning. Wait, I know that smell. That is hand sanitizer. Oh my God. Oh my God. My Viking is so shroomed out that he has now put Purell all over my genitals and all over his. And at this point, I'm like, fuck this shit. I am so done with this. And I slam my hand down. And almost as if by divine intervention, there's like something hard underneath my fingers, and I'm like, what is this? And I pull it out, and it's this disgusting writing crop. And I'm like, okay, let's see what happens. And so my Viking is trying to put out the fire on my pussy with his mouth. And I start to imagine that this writing crop is like a magic wand, and I'm like orchestrating the orgy happening around me. And before I know it, I've become like the wizard Mickey in Fantasia, where I'm like, yes, and yes, and your butt's gonna go up, and your mouth's gonna go on that cock, and you're gonna lick her pussy. And I'm like tapping the Viking on the back, and suddenly his broom awakens, and okay, now we're in business. And so with my riding crop waving around in the air, he enters me, and I'm tapping him like an unruly red stallion, still waving my magic crop around, and he's thrusting, and he's thrusting, and he's licking, and flinging, and banging, and all these things, and oh my God, I'm close. Woo! I am really close, and I climax, and whoo! Holy shit, that was disgusting. And as I leave the tent, I notice I'm leaving more behind than just like this wild adventure. I walk away leaving behind all of these like shitty insecurities that had been weighing me down and drowning me for the past year. All those feelings of being like unwanted and not good enough, not sexy enough. And instead, I walked away feeling empowered, like, yeah, I'm sexy, I'm fun, I'm adventurous, I am disgusting. And I am, and the most important thing is I walked away feeling like I am finally good enough, and I have a tiny little fuck yurt in the woods to thank for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Like eating that pizza, key to how we could beat global hunger, achieve total peace on earth. I'm a freak, I'm a local wonder, more lung capacity than Freddie Mercury vocal numbers. I plunder the briny deepest bunker, plunging in hunkering down in between those puffy pink walls like a fallout bunker. And if I never emerge to the surface, don't give me shit. In 20 years, I'm back like Kimmy Schmidt.
What's up?
Hold up, wait, hold up, wait. Cause I really gotta say one thing straight. I'm not chowing on the choke just so that you'll reciprocate. I just go in. No strings.
No strings.
Tastes great.
Tastes great.
Fun times. I got a one tongue. I'm doing sorcery. If you don't want none, well, that's just more for me.
I'm going down. I'm going down.
On you. I'm going down on you like I like it, but bro, I'm lying. Cause I don't like it. I lied. That shit's my Valentine. One tiny warning. I'm dying on your gourmet form until the morning. Performing like it'll stop global warming. My palate. Evil, and maybe make Rick Moranis be in the Ghostbusters sequel. One taste and I'm willing.
God bless.
God bless. Until you quiver, I will not rest.
Not rest.
Lick it repeatedly like her beavers. I swear, reader, and my tongue is a Visa debit card that failed the process. It's like the miracle worker, and I'm blind and I'm deaf and dumb. Plus each inch of my body's numb except for the tip of my tongue. And each Wikipedia topic's printed in microscopic raised ink on your clips or the single option. I got to know something about this wonderful globe that we come from. So locate your swollen bean and then probe the folds of it fiendishly till you come about infinity times. And baby, that isn't a crime.
I'm going down. I'm going down.
On you. Given our planet's gender ratio, it'd be a mockery glossing over fellatio.
There you go.
Meaning that really, fuck it, quick, I gotta touch a sucking dick.
Many guys specialize giving BJs as they you, but can we just please get smoking full of calm objective view? I'm pretty straight, but I'll say sexuality's an arc. Maybe I could suck a flashlight so my soul will not be dark.
Why couldn't I get sexual with a man at all? At 13, I was in my bedroom fucking stuffed animals. If I could bang an inanimate object, can't to jam the crotch of a man in my jaw and softly massage it, fellas vomit. Like, what if the sausage is smelling hella funky? Don't you wash your fucking junk, B? Of course I wouldn't devour icky salami, but that goes the same for encountering stinky punani. So in this scenario where I brush my teeth with a penis, let's assume that the penis we're dealing with sparkles the cleanest of all. Penis, penis on the wall.
With those
well-proportioned balls.
Can't wrap your mind around the final money shot. Don't give up, the nut is what truly makes it foul. Bitches get him close to busting and hand him a paper towel.
Yeah. No gravy on your chin.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Squirrel to an acorn. Dudes like to look at dicks and their straight porn. Put your hands up if you got hang-ups. Put your hands up if you got hang-ups. If I could get with it, I'd have a wider I'm fishing in, but I'm inhibited by my social conditioning. So where my head's at a present, the odds are gloomy that I would agree to feast on a D that's presented to me. But I'm not officially ruling out that at some point in my life I'll have a ding-a-ling in my mouth.
I'm going down. We're going down.
Guy that's going down on you. I am going so low that I am going down to the core of the earth and then maybe below.
That was Going Down by Watsky. Thank you to Sindri in Reykjavik, Iceland, for the song suggestion. OhMyGodYes.com is a website about women's sexual pleasure. It's not a subscription site. You pay once for permanent access to a set of videos and animations, and your payment goes on to fund ongoing research into sexual pleasure. When it comes to the actual ways that people with vaginas touch themselves or the way that their partners touch women, there are a lot of myths out there. Oh My God Yes decided to do the first ever large-scale scientific research interviewing over 20,000 vagina havers, age 18 to 95, about what feels good and why. What they found was, of course, that people with vaginas vary in what they like, but Oh My God Yes shares a lot of the techniques that they learned. Oh My God Yes is explicit, but the videos aren't intimidating. They feel comfortable, sort of like friends sharing recipes or travel tips. Here's just some of what you can find at Oh My God Yes. Season 2 just came out, and it's all about penetration and the way that people can make penetration more pleasurable. While 18% of people with vaginas orgasm from regular in and out penetration, there are other penetration techniques that lead to orgasm for over 75% of women, and you can explore them all. And here's another one. 47% of people with vaginas have had multiple orgasms. Lots of women think they can't have multiples because they get really sensitive after the first. But by altering the technique after the orgasm in specific ways, many people can build to second and third orgasms. The site has short videos of all kinds of people with vaginas sharing and showing their techniques. Researchers from Indiana University School of Medicine found that 95% of women experienced pleasure in a way that felt physically new to them after a month of Oh My God Yes. Check out their newly released Season 2 at OhMyGodYes.com, and you can get $5 off with the promo code Dixie. That's OhMyGodYes.com/Dixie for $5 off. You know when you watch those movies and they have the bachelor auction? You can win a date with a bachelor, and people reach in their wallets and they go, I want a date with that. Guess what we got for raffling? We got unicorns. This Friday, May 17th, we are doing Unicorn Fest. We are going to have unicorns that you can buy raffle tickets for. It's just like that bachelor auction thing. It's exactly the same, except they're unicorns. Except the last time I tried this 10 years ago, PayPal shut me down for soliciting. Yeah, PayPal, get over yourself. That's not what's going on. These folks are going to help us raise money so the body can come to some new cities. It's expensive to travel. Plane tickets are expensive. Everything's expensive. So my friends, my attractive friends, are pitching in to help me raise some funds. So this Friday, May 17th, Unicorn Fest, we're going to have Sibian rides. You can buy a ticket to win a Sibian, and you get to test drive it for a little while. You've got, of course, the win a date with a unicorn. We will have unicorn buttholes from Synthetics. Our friends who make the Vajankle, I contacted them about a month ago, and I said, have you ever made unicorn buttholes? And they're like, ask us in a week, because that's a great idea. So unicorn buttholes are on their way from LA to San Francisco. There's a very limited quantity of commemorative unicorn buttholes. You can get one if you're there at the show. KHT Cocktail Syrups is going to be creating some brand new custom cocktails just for me. Their new Cherry Bomb Cocktail Syrup, their new Fairy Dust Cocktail Syrup. These drinks sell so fast that we've run out every time that we've had them served at Body Storytelling. Come try the brand new ones, never experienced before. I will see you Friday, May 17th in San Francisco at Unicorn Fest. They're never going to let me do this again, you know. You better be at this one. I don't think it's going to be repeated. And then on Thursday, June 6th in Seattle, it's our 5-year anniversary in Seattle. I have comedian Emmett Montgomery. He is a legend in Seattle. I have Tootsie Spangles of the Libertinis and so much more. It's going to be a big celebratory show. I'd love to see you on June 6th in Seattle. And then we're back in San Francisco on June 20th. The theme is Best Fiends. Maybe your friends get you laid. Maybe you sleep with your friends. If you have a story, pitch me. I'm Dixie at BawdyStorytelling.com. That theme is in San Francisco. We're going to have shows in July. I'll give you the theme soon. August, we're going to be working on big projects. No shows in August. And then in September, some tour dates. Show up on Friday, May 17th to help make those tour dates possible. And that's what's coming up for the live shows for Body Storytelling. See you in person soon. Are you a sex educator, a relationship coach, a therapist, a communication nerd, a social worker, an intimacy expert, or a sex positive podcaster? Do you want to see the world be more sex positive, more accepting, more open? Then join me on June 10th through 14th. I'm going to be at Sex Geek Summer Camp. I'm going to be one of the faculty this year. It's year 5 of the camp. This year it's on the West Coast, and I saved room in my schedule for this one because I think what they're doing is so important. There's cabins, there's countryside, there's s'mores, there's great swag, and it's an entire week of learning how to do your job better. Join me at Sex Geek Summer Camp, June 10th through 14th near Portland, Oregon. You can find a link to the information in the show notes. It's time to say thank you. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia. So much fun to work with. Thank you to video archivist Joe Moore, to sound engineer David Grossoff, to project manager Dana Hanna. Thank you to you. Thank you for writing reviews. Thank you for telling your friends about this podcast. Thank you for listening and for the mail that you send me. If you want to tell me about your life, nothing makes me happier. You can get me at dixie@bodystorytelling.com. One final thing. I want to tell you about another podcast you should know about. The hosts are knowledgeable. They want you to have more pleasurable sex. And you know me, I believe in talking about sex. I'm going to give you a taste of their podcast at the end of this, but I want to make sure that you go look for Sluts and Scholars. You can find them wherever you find podcasts. They really know their stuff. Here's a taste.
I'm Nicoletta.
And I'm Simone.
And together, we're Sluts and Scholars.
Every Thursday, we drop a new episode and probably your pants.
Our guests range from Nina Hartley to exes and Dita Von Teese to sexual trauma therapists.
So join us weekly to talk smart and fuck smarter.